Chapter 31. Spire Albion, Habble Landing Shipyards, AMS Predator. The door to Grimm's cabin opened a few inches and Kettle said,
"Skipper, something you want to see."
Grimm blinked his eyes open, long accustomed reflexes, swinging his legs out of his bunk and his feet to the floor before he was able to focus his gaze. Night had fallen, and the cabin was lit only by the light of a few large lumen crystals that were hung around landings at shipyards, shining wanly through the small windows. He felt as though some kind of gum were squeezing his eyelids shut, but he knew it was nothing more than simple weariness. He must have been asleep for less than 3 or 4 hours for his body to feel so reluctant to get out of his bed.
"Skipper?"
Grimm felt an irrational surge of annoyance at the pilot and promptly clubbed it into submission. Kettle hadn't slept much more than Grimm had, and the man wouldn't have woken him if it wasn't important.
"I hear you, Mr. Kettle. I'll be out directly."
"Aye, sir,"
Kettle said quietly, and closed the door. Grimm fumbled a lumen crystal to life, quickly washed himself from a basin of tepid water, and dressed. Captains did not arrive to address a crisis looking like an unmade bed. They were always calm, confident, and neatly turned out. If an enemy battleship was about to unleash a full broadside on a ship, the captain would face it with his hat straight and his cravat crisp and square. Anything else undermined the faith of a crew, increasing the chances of casualties, and was therefore unacceptable. That said, the captain knew very well how time-critical any number of issues could be. On a fleet ship, Grimm would have had a personal valet to manage a good many things and save him considerable personal time on a given day. But Predator, as a private vessel, could not afford the luxury. The upshot being that it took him nearly 4 minutes instead of 3 to cleanse himself, dress, buckle on his sword, tug his hat on firmly, and appear on the deck. His arm ached restlessly without its sling, and he could have done with a shave. But all things considered, it could wait until morning.
"The time, Mr. Kettle?"
Grimm asked as he emerged.
6 bell,
Kettle replied.
3 o'clock, sir."
Grimm strode to the ship's starboard rail and scowled up into the misty night sky at the vessel that was making its descent to the landing slip beside Predator's. She was a large, armed merchantman, a third again Predator's size, flying a Delosian flag this night. She'd been painted smuggler black all across her hull, though there were sharp white marks painted on her decks to show the way to her crew in darkness. Like Predator, she had masts for raising sail when the use of her web was not possible, though Grimm knew her sails to be stained storm-cloud grey and smudged with black smoke. A blazon of garish red paint at her prow named her the Mist Shark.
"There, you see, sir?"
Kettle growled.
"What's she doing here?"
"Whatever it is," Grimm mused, "I think we can safely assume it's unlikely to make our sleep more restful."
"Could be we have a problem with that new No. 3 gun, Skipper,"
Kettle suggested darkly.
"Maybe it goes off completely by mistake. Blows that bitch clean out of the sky. Terrible accident. Sincere regrets. We all go to the funerals."
"Now, now, Mr. Kettle. You know I would never condone such an action." He glanced aside and added in a whimsical undertone, "At least, not when it could be traced back to Predator." He narrowed his eyes, scanning the decks of the Mist Shark for familiar faces. "Still, you know she took that slip intentionally. Make ready a side party, if you would. She'll be here to gloat in a moment."
"There could be a horrible accident with a gauntlet," Kettle growled.
"If you please, Mr. Kettle," Grimm said, keeping a firm note of reprimand in his tone.
"Side party. Aye, aye, Captain,"
Kettle said, and stomped off, muttering under his breath. Grimm nodded and went back to his cabin. He picked up his nicer bottles of liquor, his cutlery, his gauntlet, and a number of small, valuable objects, placed them all in his heavy cabinet, and locked it. And then he made the bunk neat and turned up his crystal lamps to their brightest levels. By the time he had finished, he could hear men on the deck of Mist Shark shouting. Her captain would be on the way. Grimm went back out on deck and eyed the other ship. A lean woman of an age with him, but half a foot taller, was coming down the gangplank onto the pier.
"No!"
she said firmly to the burly, one-eyed ape of a man walking beside her, Mist Shark's first mate, Santos.
"I absolutely forbid it. Unless you can find a way to make it look like it was someone else's ship that had the accident."
Santos spat out a curse, scowling, and put his hands on his hips. He glowered at his captain, and then up at the deck of Predator. The woman took notice of Santos's reaction, and turned on a low, heavy boot heel to gaze up at Grimm. Her expression turned into a perfectly amused smile. She wore an aeronaut's dark leather pants, a white blouse with roomy sleeves, and a tailored vest bearing intricately embroidered designs. She swept a hand up to her head and doffed her cap, giving him a formal bow, her arms spread at her sides. Grimm scowled. When she straightened again, the woman replaced her cap and said,
"My dear, dearest, lovely Francis, you look absolutely delightful."
Grimm folded his arms and continued to scowl. The woman laughed.
"Francis, I do hope that in your usual charmingly predictable and courteous way, you have prepared to receive me.
I'm coming aboard. With your permission, of course."
"Kettle keeps asking me to let him shoot you, Captain Ransom."
"Oh, but you never would,"
Ransom replied, smiling.
"Not Francis Madison Grimm of the Albion Ethereum Fleet, even though he isn't."
Grimm gave her a sour smile. "Let's get this over with, shall we?" Ransom put a hand to her chest and made a sad face.
"Oh, sweet Francis, you wound me with your lack of enthusiasm."
"I shall certainly wound you if you try to take anything that isn't yours while you're here."
"Everything's mine, Francis," she replied in a merry tone. "The only question is whether or not it knows it yet."
Grimm jerked his head toward Predator's gangplank in a peremptory gesture, and walked toward it without ever quite turning his back entirely on Captain Ransom. The woman strode down the pier and around to Predator's gangplank with steady, quick strides, and came up the ramp like a visiting monarch.
"Side party," Kettle snarled. "Tension!"
Tension indeed, Grimm thought. Half a dozen armed men, three on either side of the gangplank, snapped to attention, and every single one of them kept his hand on his sword, his gauntlet primed and gently glowing. Kettle faced the gangplank and gave his best glare to Captain Ransom as she came up to the deck.
"Sweet Kettle,"
Ransom said. Something quite predatory came into her smile.
"Does your knee still ache when it rains?"
"Aye," Kettle snarled. "And I make it feel better by breaking the noses of mouthily sucker-punching, welching, treacherous Olympian bit... Mr. Kettle," Grimm said, his tone hard.
"Captain Ransom is my guest. You will maintain courtesy and discipline aboard my vessel, or I shall terminate your contract. Do I make myself perfectly clear?"
Kettle looked over his shoulder at Grimm sullenly. He grunted. Then he turned and snapped off a textbook salute to Captain Ransom.
Ransom returned it genially.
"Permission to come aboard?"
"Granted,"
Kettle said through clenched teeth. Grimm stepped forward and cleared his throat.
"Conditionally, Captain Ransom. I believe you are familiar with my terms."
Ransom beamed and unfastened a gauntlet. Kettle stepped forward warily to accept it. Then she unbuckled her sword belt and passed that over as well.
"Satisfied?"
"And the knives in your boots, if you please," Grim said. She reached down and withdrew two slender copper-clad blades from the tops of her boots, smiling without a hint of shame or repentance as she surrendered them.
"I only put them there to give you an excuse to gaze at my lower half, Francis."
"How thoughtful," Grim replied, his tone disinterested.
"What's that at the small of your back?"
Ransom reached behind her, and every man in the side party rattled their swords to make sure they'd come clear of their scabbards if need be. Her smile widened, and she produced a small silver flask.
"A lovely drop I picked up in Ethosia. You'd like it."
"Fool me twice, shame on me," Grim said. "You won't be needing it."
She rolled her eyes and passed the flask over as well.
"Don't you touch a drop of that flask, Kettle."
"No worries there,"
Kettle growled.
"I know where it's been."
Ransom ignored the comment loftily.
"Anything else, Francis?"
She bobbed an eyebrow at him.
"Should I strip out of my clothes as well?"
"That shall not be necessary," Grim replied stiffly. Ransom winked at him.
"I do so appreciate the courtesy that is always shown me when I visit the second fastest ship in the sky."
Grim felt a flicker of utterly irrational annoyance at the mention of the race, and had to fight to keep from clenching his jaw.
"It is how decent, civilized people behave, Captain Ransom, though I suppose that to someone of your level of moral fortitude it must seem remarkable."
She barked out a quick laugh.
"I would say you'd scored a touch, Francis, if I had the least shred of desire for your good opinion."
She strode across the deck breezily.
"Don't bother to show me the way to your cabin, Captain. I'm sure I'll find it in the same place."
Grim watched Ransom walk away, and permitted himself a slow exhalation and a narrow-eyed glare. Kettle stepped up next to him, his eyes wary.
"That woman," Grim said quietly, "drives me quite insane."
Kettle grunted.
"Why'd you marry her, then?"
Grim followed her to his cabin and shut the door behind them. He leaned his shoulders back against the door and folded his arms over his chest, mostly to use his right arm to support his wounded left.
"All right, Calliope," he said. "What are you going to make me regret this time?"
She tossed her hat casually onto his writing desk, settled onto his bunk, and stretched out along it with a smug assumption of the space.
"Perhaps I missed you. Can't I pay an old friend a social call?"
"Friend," he said, his tone carefully devoid of emotion. "Empirical evidence suggests that you cannot."
She smiled, the expression impish, her green eyes sparkling in her strong, square face. Had an artist painted Calliope, no one would accuse her of extraordinary beauty, but somehow it was present in any case. In the way she held her head, the glitter in her eyes, in her sheer physical confidence. A still-life image of her was something of an oxymoron. Calliope was never still. Even when she was seemingly motionless, he could see her mind at work, sorting ideas, seeking solutions, cataloguing the space around her. To see her beauty, one had to see her in motion.
"You've grown so cynical since the Admiralty cashiered you for obeying orders, Francis," she said. "It's most unbecoming."
Grim simply stared at her.
Calliope rolled her eyes.
"I'm almost certain that I remember you having a sense of humour sometime in the murky past, at the dawn of history."
"We used to have a lot of things," Grim said in a neutral tone. "What do you want?"
"I want to make you an offer. An easy job with an excellent profit margin."
"How believable," Grim said, "but I'm afraid I'd rather not lose another year's earnings to your amusements."
"It isn't about money," she replied.
"Since when?" Grim said mildly.
"I'm doing quite well for myself now,"
Calliope replied.
"Why, Not a month ago we stumbled upon a damaged Cortez-class merchantman. She'd had a battle-cruiser escort, but apparently it went herring off in pursuit of some dim-witted band of amateur pirates who had made a mess of attempting to take her. Her entire belly was as naked as a newborn. Took the ship and her cargo, sold them, and ransomed back her crew. I've enough money to bathe in at the moment.
Grimm snorted and opened his door. I believe I've heard enough. Good day, Captain Ransom.
No, she replied, her eyes hardening. You haven't heard enough. Not yet. Hear me out. Give me 1 minute. If you don't like the offer, I'll go.
Grimm twisted his mouth into a frown.
We're done here.
Calliope sat up, her brows knitted, her gaze intense.
Mad,
she said very quietly.
Please.
Grimm stared at her for several seconds. Then he shut the door again.
1 minute,
he said.
Due to a clerical error, I find myself double-booked,
she said.
I've half a load of vat sand bound for Olympia, and the other full of medicine bound for Kisan. I can't make both deliveries in time. Help me out by taking the Olympia run, and I'll split the net profits with you.
In theory, I should think a 90-10 split would be more reasonable, Grimm said.
You want 90% of my cargo?
Calliope asked.
10% and a solid reputation is a great deal more than nothing in a broken contract,
Grimm said.
Theoretically.
She narrowed her eyes.
Oh, there's no point in trying to argue with you over this.
None whatsoever. I'm not the one who needs help.
She pressed her lips together and then nodded once.
You leave me little choice, it would seem.
In fact, I leave you none at all. I'm not available. That battlecruiser you mentioned gutted Predator.
It'll be days before we can put Sky under her again.
Calliope frowned.
What? She's not Sky-worthy.
Yet, Grimm said. Those green eyes slipped into calculation and seemed to reach some sort of conclusion. She rose abruptly and reached for her hat.
Then I suppose I should seek help elsewhere. I'm sure someone would like the work.
Grimm nodded and opened the door for her. Captain Ransom strode out of the cabin and over to the gangplank, where Kettle warily returned her effects. She glanced back over one shoulder at Grimm just for a second and then departed the way she had come. Kettle came over to his side.
What does she lie about?
Grimm shrugged.
I'm not certain. All of it, likely.
Said she had an easy money job for us.
Kettle snorted.
Precisely.
And you told her no?
Kettle said rather carefully.
Of course I did.
The pilot sagged a little with evident relief.
Ah, fine. It's never good news when she shows up.
Grimm found himself frowning thoughtfully.
No. No, it isn't. Sir?
Mist Shark arrives just as the spire comes under attack. Grimm asked.
Are we to think it a coincidence?
Kettle grunted.
What do you mean?
The spire arc sent us down to landing to smoke out an enemy force, Grimm said. And it just so happens that by chance the fastest ship in the skies docked in the landing shipyard. Kettle scowled.
Predator only lost that race because Santos sabotaged our main Hassler cage.
Regardless of how it happened, she won, Grimm said.
She claimed the fame and glory. Such renown is a marketable commodity.
Kettle's frown deepened.
You think she's enemy transport?
I am disturbed by the presence of inordinate levels of coincidence, Grimm said.
I want eyes on Mist Shark at all times. Report anything, no matter how trivial.
See it done. Kettle nodded.
Aye, sir.
Grimm narrowed his eyes thoughtfully. And after that, send Mr. Journeyman and Stern to my cabin, please. Kettle's concerned frown twisted up into a little smile, and his eyes glittered with a sudden malicious light.
Ah, Yes, sir. I'll be delighted to.